ever wanted to break out of your cubicle and into a business where you can call the shots? You Break Guy Fix is looking for passionate self-starters interested in a franchise opportunity in the booming electronics repair industry. At You Break Guy Fix, we help reconnect people to the devices that they rely on so that they can get back to what matters most. This is a big responsibility. And from the moment you join our family, our franchisees are provided with the resources and support to bring affordable and convenient electronics repair to your community. Did we mention that with amazing partners like Samsung and Google, You Break I Fix franchisees also have access to the highest quality parts and personalized training out there, as well as specialized tools? It's true. And it's also easy to visit youbreakifix.com/franchising and learn more about your big break at your very own You Break I Fix.
Hi, this is Todd Graffinini, voice of your New Orleans Pelicans, and you're listening to Tina and Jeff on Floors Truly.
Live from New Orleans, home of good food, good music, and tons of fun, this is Tina and Jeff with Floors Truly. Hey, Jeff, how are you this week?
It's another week, I'm telling you. The saga continues.
It's this month is flying by. March is right around the corner.
It's like you got to start getting ready for St. Patrick's Day. We're only like 3 weeks away from that. Like,
yeah,
it's just
spring.
Really, there's a lot going on. You know?
Spring. That's what
and
I'm ready for.
Spring weather outside.
Some gorgeous
it's been amazing.
Weather. I have not stopped the last couple of days. In fact, I literally just ran inside a little while ago, cleaned up, and to get ready for the show. I've been out in the garden getting all my prep work done. I got some tin, and it's galvanized tin planter pots, and I'm aging them the quick and easy way, as opposed to just leaving them out in the weather forever to put flowers in. And I was cutting my roses back and just doing a little bit here, repotting some of my house plants as well. Cause we had this crazy cold weather last week, and now we're in the 70s and almost going to be in the 80s in a couple of days.
No it's rain. Like we really turned the tide because it was cold. And actually today I think we got a little cold front last night. It was a little chilly this morning, but today turned into a beautiful day. So we've got spring in the air. We've got the, you know, if you look out in the grass, you've got all the clovers coming out and all
clovers
that good stuff.
Up.
Wow.
Last night, I'm listening to LSU baseball on the radio and I'm going, spring is sprung. You know,
yeah,
we
it's crazy. Last week we're in jackets talking about snow flurries, and literally Monday is March 1st. And we always have that normal last little cold snap that comes through and messes us up. And then, you know, we're in the middle of spring. So yes, it's time to get your gardens ready. And if you shop at your local nurseries or you shop at Lowe's and Home Depot, you'll notice they've got all their mulch out there and plants, and just everything is so pretty and just ready to just go in the yard. So that's what I'll be doing the next couple of days. And of course, we'll be in that kitchen as well. We got vacation coming up, so hopefully we can finish
up.
It's
time to put that kitchen to work finally.
Yes.
Right?
Well, we do use it. It's functional, like I said, but like I told you, in between work and obviously the weather, the last two vacations that we had scheduled together, one was and we were in the middle of hurricane, and the other one we had a really bad cold snap. So it's hard to be out there. And then of course you when you're off, you've got other things to do. Of course, now it's clean up the yard week, so that's kind of what we're doing this week. And then when we're on vacation, we'll finish up. We have the countertops to do, and then we need to finish closing off the cabinets, and that should be it for like the major stuff.
What's this vacation word you keep using? I'm not familiar with
it. Let me rephrase that. Staycation, because we have not had a real vacation and will not have a vacation for a while, but staycation. But the great thing is we're getting all these projects done at the house, and it's really nice. And of course, eventually at some point we'll be able to have a party, and hopefully it'll be by football season. So
yeah, I know. You know, I got friends that are going to like Disney World, and they're going to Costa Rica, and they're going to Puerto Rico. And I'm like, I'm just trying to get to Walgreens. Like, you know, I have a hard time even getting down the street sometimes. So it is funny to hear people talk about vacation. And you're right, staycation. I think a lot of people have done that. You know, it's a great way to get stuff done. You got to spend more time on the house and getting things together. People are working from home, so you're setting up your office, you're doing all that kind of stuff. It has been an interesting transition time as we go from, you know, last year when the pandemic started to where we are now, where we're starting to take pieces of that and it's becoming normal life going forward, you know?
Yes. And speaking of trying to get to Walgreens, a friend of mine posted online. She said she's been on the hunt for gold brick eggs, dark chocolate, because, you know, we're getting close to Easter season and it's we're in Lent and everything. So all the Easter candy's out, Easter decorations are out. And the hunt for gold brick eggs, dark chocolate, if anybody has seen them, hit me up on social media and let me know. I've got a friend who just loves those. Her kids love them. They want the dark chocolate. Now, what about you? Are you a heavenly hash or a gold brick egg person?
You know, I mean, they're okay. You know, okay. I like the heavenly hash. The gold brick is okay. But me, I am a Reese's peanut butter cup nut. I am absolutely insane over them. I call it one of the most wonderful times of the year while they're out. And they're right. In the commercial for Reese's peanut butter cups, they say, you can find them literally everywhere. And I think that is absolutely true. I think I went to the bank the other day and got one. I think that's where I was, but it's hard to tell anymore. But we have so much local great candy that comes out at this time. Yes. And Elmer's is the perfect example of that. And we didn't see quite as much candy for Valentine's this year, but we're starting to see it hit the shelves for Easter.
Those gold brick eggs, absolutely. They literally are like gold. And apparently the dark chocolate ones are hard to find. Not that I like both, but I prefer heavenly hash over the gold brick egg. But I've seen the gold brick egg six pack or five pack in stores. Yeah. I've seen the five pack of heavenly hash. I haven't seen the dark chocolate this year yet. So not that I'm out and about in the stores all over, but apparently my friend has been looking for them and our kids want them and they haven't been able to find them. So this is like literally like gold. So if anybody sees them, let me know. But Reese's cups, let me tell you, that's Dan's favorite, the Reese's cups. And there was this whole thing online, I think it was like maybe a year or two ago, and you probably read it, where people were debating whether the Reese's cups versus the Reese's bunnies and the Reese's eggs are better than the actual Reese's cups.
Oh, there is no debate. There is absolutely no debate involved. Reese's peanut butter cups, it's okay if you got nothing else close by, but does not even begin to compare to a Reese's peanut butter egg. Okay. Discussion is over.
Yeah. I read that. I think it was like a year or two ago and people were talking about it, and I like them, but I'm not a connoisseur. Like, I don't get a whole bunch of them during the holiday. Is it Halloween? They make the pumpkin ones. They've got the bunny and the eggs for Easter.
So trees for Christmas. Yes.
But that's what everybody was saying, that the holiday ones are so much better than the regular ones.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. And that's why Reese's came out with a line of Reese's peanut butter cups that were peanut butter lovers cups. And basically the top part is chocolate. The bottom part is all peanut butter, and it's better, but The issue is the ratio to peanut butter and chocolate. The Reese's peanut butter egg is probably 70-30, somewhere in that ratio, whereas a Reese's peanut butter cup is really probably 60-40, more on the chocolate side. So if you're a chocolate fan, you like the cups. I'm a nut for peanut butter. So that's why I love the peanut butter eggs.
So yeah, you lean us on the side that they are better. Speaking of good Easter candy, and unfortunately I haven't seen this in many, many years, maybe a couple of decades. Do you remember the popcorn bunnies with the candy eyes when you were a kid? That was my favorite Easter candy. Love those. Haven't seen them in years.
I liked the, you know, the pecan eggs. And I think that's an Elmer's thing
too. That is an Elmer's product as well.
Gosh, those, and I haven't had them in probably, I don't know, probably 5 or 6 years,
but they still sell them. Harder to find.
Yeah, they're not as, not as simple as getting your heavenly hash or your gold brick eggs, but no, I tell you, those things are so good.
My mom used to like those, but also my mom used to make pralines all the time too. So that was like a big thing for her. I mean, like we made fudge and we made turtles and she made, homemade pralines. And so that pecan egg is very similar to it. And that was like one of her favorites. And that was probably why, because, you know, she liked the sweets and those are sweet. Those three things I mentioned are really sweet if you make them.
So it's funny because we talk about the pecan egg and I say pecan with an on, and then there's the Georgia way, which is the pecan. And then you say the typical New Orleans way, pecan, A-W-N, pecan.
Yes, pecan.
That is one of those words that really depends on where you live and where you were raised on how you say it.
And the irony of it is my mom was from New York and she said that as well.
But you see, New York and New Orleans have a very similar accent.
Yes,
it's
I know.
Not that different.
Many of the times when I used to work in HR and I would attend networking meetings, we had a lot of people that would come in and that would attend our BNI meetings and chamber meetings. And that's the first thing they always said, "You're not from here, are you?" "Yeah, I'm from New Orleans." "Oh, okay. Well, I thought you from up north somewhere, like New York."
And no, like, it sounds like the, you know, I had a guy, I back when I was in the limousine business, I was driving a guy and he was from New York. And he says, "Man, you gotta be from the Bronx." And I said, "No, why you think I'm from the Bronx?" He says, "Man, where are you from?" I said, "I'm from New Orleans. Like I'm born and raised." He says, "You sound like you're from the Bronx, but you know, maybe you went to France for a year or two." I said, "Okay, well, maybe that's exactly what our accent is." I don't know.
Would have had to pull over because I would have cracked up laughing.
I enjoyed that one. I thought that was a good way to put it. You know?
I bet you have some good stories we'll have to tell one day about that. I bet there's some interesting people that you met.
We are going to dive into plenty of stories this year. Now that we're in year two of the show, we're really going to dig into some deep stuff. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, but you and I both, being children of New Orleans and have seen and heard it all, we've got some stories. And some of them y'all won't believe, and honest to God's truth, they're all real.
Oh my gosh, let me tell you, I got stories that I have told people and they go, "When are you going to write a book?" And I say, I would love to. And the hard part is people will never believe. And sometimes they don't understand because of all the idiosyncrasies that we have in this city and living down here. Sometimes they'll never understand what you're talking about. But those of us here, you really start to understand. It's just like when you were a kid and you go over to grandma's house or whatever, and she would, you know, she'd go into some story that you go, this is not true. And then you start to find out it really is true. It's not just a quote unquote old wives tale you're being told, you know?
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned writing a book. My old boss and I, we talked about this because in the staffing agency that, you know, we worked in dealing with people, recruiters and clients and HR, you see and hear all kinds of things. Some of them just completely outrageous. And, you know, you just roll with it because it's part of being in that business. And we always used to say we were going to write a book and it was going to be called Temporary Insanity. Because obviously with the staffing, you know, the play on the words, temporary insanity. We used to say that all the time. People would never believe half the stories that you know, the things that happened, you know, I was there 12, 13 years.
And sign me up. I'm ready to read.
It was crazy. And still to this day, some of the things I hear from my friends that are still in the business and have their own agencies, not just here in Louisiana, but all over, the stories I hear are just unbelievable. So,
well, you know, and I find that one thing people don't understand. So last week, you know, we had Mardi Gras last week, and even though it wasn't a typical Mardi Gras, a lot of us still tried to celebrate best we can. And it reminded me come Thursday, and I just felt kind of lethargic and I was just kind of out of it in the morning time. And I'm going, you know, there is a Mardi Gras depression that sinks in once you hit Ash Wednesday, and you are full throttle as you go through probably the weekend, two weekends prior to Carnival. So you're two parading weekends, you get to Mardi Gras Day, and then boom, Ash Wednesday hits, and you feel this like, I can't believe it's all over feeling that comes over you. And so many times when I was in so many different industries, you would see it. It was almost like, Tina, you know, on a Monday morning when the Saints lose, this town is depressed.
Oh, from, without a doubt.
From top to bottom. You know the difference.
I can get my coffee. I can get my coffee.
It's easy sometimes.
Everything is wrong.
It was like somebody sucked the air out of the building.
Exactly. And, you didn't even have to.
And if LSU lost too, and it was a big game. Oh my goodness.
You remember that the Times-Picayune used to do a thing. You know, if LSU, Tulane, and the Saints all lost, it would all be right on the front page to remind you to stick it.
Yes, exactly.
Stick it right in that wound, you know?
We are
so many times. That's how we lived. And we're a sports centric. We're such a passionate people here. But that's the hard part about when you look at those type of things and how, you know, positives, negatives, but you come off of Mardi Gras and there is certainly a quick down spurt before you climb back up.
But the cool thing is, like you said, here in New Orleans, everywhere else in the country, people are just kind of, you know, just getting ready for spring and, you know, getting over the holidays and getting things back in order. Whereas here, it's like nonstop at this point. I mean, like you mentioned before, we've got St. Patrick's Day. You know, usually we have the Irish Italian Parade. I think that's still to be determined on what's going to happen with that. Yeah. You know, we have a lot of virtual concerts. Our positivity rate for COVID is very low. So now the bars are starting to reopen. They're increasing the capacity. So that means we're going to be able to have live music again soon. So I mean, all these things are starting to come together. And as people continue to do things safely, more things will open up. So we'll get closer to back to normal. And to me that, you know, especially at this point in time of the year, because this is really when a lot of restaurants, a lot of little small businesses in the French Quarter in New Orleans, Jackson Square, this is when they make their money. This is prime season for them. Weather's gorgeous outside.
And you're talking about increased capacity. Look at the Pelicans. All right. So tomorrow night, Wednesday night, they're going to play a game and they will have 2,700 fans in the stadium. We're not talking only a month and a half ago, that could only be 700 people. So we're almost quadrupling where we were because of the progress mm-hmm. that's been made.
And 2,700 doesn't sound like a lot, but considering from where we were to where we are now, that is really a great improvement.
And considering you have a lot of empty stadiums still across the league right mm-hmm. now.
That's going to get our service workers that work in the Smoothie King Center back to work as well. After the games, especially if they win, people are going to want to go eat and celebrate. So they'll go, you know, they'll go out and venture to some
they're
of
gonna
these
go
local
over
restaurants.
To Walk-On. Think, you know, Walk-On's is Manning, such a Walk-On. Cool location because it's right there by the Superdome. You can pregame there, you can postgame there, and you go back and forth. That place has been virtually dead. Okay. And this is a place that Drew Brees is behind. We mm-hmm. see a lot of we see it being a very local centric, but it's also been named one of the top, and I think one year it was the top sports bar in all of America, according to ESPN. And it's a really cool place, but that place has been dead. And yeah. It's such a neat spot. They're going to see some traffic with these increased capacities.
It's like a unique restaurant concept because it's a sports bar. It truly is a sports bar, but it's really good food. It's not your typical like cheese fries. I mean, they have all this on the menu, don't get me wrong, but not your typical cheese fries or, you know, pizza rolls like most sports bars have. This is like real food. You can get yourself they have a great buffalo chicken wrap. They have shrimp plate. They have hamburgers. I mean, they have like actual meals.
The food
is incredible. Yeah. And I mean, and like I said, but it's still a sports bar. It's somewhere you can go and hang out and watch the entire Pelicans game. You can watch, you know, Saints games there at any time, bring your kids. I mean, it's just, it's a unique concept. Cause when you think about New Orleans, especially, we have a lot of little hole in the wall bars and the food is good there, but it's bar food. It is. It's bar food. It's not like restaurant, you know, like sit down, you know, with your family type, you know, like meals. And Walk-On's is really good and the service is good. They have a good concept. Like you said, Drew Brees is a part owner of several of the different restaurants in this area. And they actually opened up another one just recently in Gonzales by the Outlet Mall.
And they're opening up now all across the Gulf South, and I think they're starting to expand even further, which is great news. But I got to ask you, speaking of Drew Brees, have we heard anything? Or
officially, we have not heard anything.
Still not heard anything.
And Saints fans are like chomping at the bit for information. Anytime he posts on his social media page, they're reading into it like a bunch of tarot cards. The man has been with us for a long time. He's made his decision. The team is aware of his decision. Let him announce it on his terms. Y'all need to just chill out. Really. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. The backlash that Drew's getting for not making an announcement. I mean, he said he was going to spend some time with his family, which he did. He took a vacation with his family. They went to Hawaii. We had Super Bowl week. I mean, out of respect for the teams that were playing, of course you don't announce your retirement the week of Super Bowl. I mean, that's, you know, out of respect for, and then after the week after, you know, of course, Tampa Bay, Tom Brady, they're doing their celebrations. Drew was on vacation with his family. The announcement is going to come. The team knows exactly what Drew's plans are and has for a while. So I expect it to be maybe end of this week, maybe the beginning of next week. But I mean, we all know that all the signs point to it. We know he's retiring, and you know, Saints fans, just calm down.
He's got to retire at some point, right? I mean,
yeah. But if you didn't know, you should have known after that last game. Should have known.
It's going to come. And I think it's going to happen. I think he's really got to weigh a lot of decisions. On a similar note, and Tina, you and I talked about this. So, of course, some of the breaking news today is regarding Tiger Woods, who was actually on his way to meet with Drew Brees, oddly enough. And unfortunately has had a horrific accident and has suffered some injuries. And I know our best is going out to Tiger Woods.
Before we went on the air,
they announced that.
Not far before we started, right.
Yes, they said that he had broken bones in both of his legs, but they expect him to make a recovery. He's in surgery right now, but very fortunate. If you see the images and the video of the car crash, it was a single car crash. It rolled over multiple times, and he's very fortunate, very, very fortunate. But, you know, our thoughts and prayers go out to him and his family, because he's going to have a long recovery ahead of him. And it's scary, because it's reminiscent, like I told you before we got on air, you know, whenever you hear celebrity gets involved in a serious accident, it flashes back a year ago. You know, when we got the announcement of Kobe, it was almost just like, you know, we all literally gasped and was in shock. And, you know, so now you hear something like that and you just think, oh no, you know, and it's just, it's scary. It really is. I mean, especially for it's on the news and it's on social media and you can't get away from it. So.
Right. No, it's all over the place. And, you know, it was interesting last year when that news came down. I was sitting at Port Orleans enjoying a beer with Sheree and another friend of ours. And she said, I was at the gas station and there was a thing that showed up that said that Kobe Bryant was killed. And I said, you are out of your mind. And within about 30 seconds of saying that, all the TVs changed. Well, it was that point in February of last year that everything just kind of took a turn for the worse. And of course, you know, Kobe was such a massive figure, not just in sports, but in life. And we really saw a difficult period after that. We still miss his presence in all of the aspects that he was involved in. Tiger Woods is another person who transcends sports. He's not a sports figure so strictly. And we're talking about a golfer. But I can remember when I was a senior in high school and watching him in that Masters in 97 and amazed by what that guy did.
I mean, nobody really and I'm not a follower of golf, so I'll be honest, but nobody really – people watched golf, but didn't really pay attention to it till Tiger came on the scene. I mean, he basically put, you know, a name and became their, you know, the face of that whole, you know, that whole franchise of golfing. I mean, cause I know I didn't pay attention to it before. And a lot of people didn't. And next thing you know, you see him on a box of Wheaties, you see him on commercials. I mean, Tiger was everywhere.
Right. Right. All over the place. You're right.
So, thankfully it wasn't serious, more serious.
More serious. Right.
We wish him a very speedy recovery because that's scary. It really is. And like I said, since it's so fresh in our mind, you know, with other celebrities and other athletes that have been involved in accidents and have injuries, it really hits your heart. It does, you know, it hits home.
And Tiger's a guy who has really done more for the sport of golf than I think, you know, anybody in the last 25 years. You know, you can look at those names. Mount Rushmore's of sports.
At Acuity Insurance, we believe the things you do for your business every day are nothing short of heroic. And you deserve someone equally heroic to protect them. Like the breaking ground on new construction things, the every box and barcode matters things, and the driving the family business forward things. We put our all into covering your business so you can focus on the things you love most. That's the power of heart. Acuity Insurance, wholeheartedly for you.
Tiger Woods is on that Mount Rushmore with the Jack Nicklauses and the Arnold Palmers. And golf is a sport that I love. I look forward to the Zurich Classic returning this year here in New Orleans. But, you know, we see these things and we go, this is something that's not just about an athlete. This is a bigger picture. You know, we had the news over the weekend about Vincent Jackson, who was a fantastic wide receiver in the NFL.
Heartbreaking.
And his untimely death. And, you know, these guys are more than just athletes. And this goes back to the Drew Brees conversation. We say, when's he going to retire? He's holding us up. This is a man. This is a man who has to make a decision for his family, for his team, for his city. There are so many people looking at him. The pressure that is involved in those decisions is unfathomable. And you look at Tiger Woods and look at his comeback after that terrible issues he had with his back. He did something that people said was absolutely impossible. I think he will come back again. I have zero doubts in Tiger Woods. And so I wish him the best. But again, people often take away the human aspect from athletes. And you have to remember, they are people like us.
They have families, and you have to respect their families' privacies, especially their little ones, because they can be on social media and see the things that are posted. And, you know, any sport that you play, the first thing when you go into off season, football, for example, you want to spend time with your family. You want to go on vacation, things that you hadn't been able to take care of for months, because football, you condition your body all year round, but they go into hardcore training, you know, during OTAs, and then you've got training camp, and then football season starts. The first week after the season's over, they don't want to do anything. They just want to just chill. And then it's like, okay, now life starts again. You've got to take care of things that are going on, you know, business deals or, you know, endorsements, commercials, that you want to go and spend time with your family and take a vacation like Drew did. I mean, just using him as an example, but I mean, they do have lives outside of football. It's their job, just like our job. The only difference is our job, you know, for most of us is 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, or, you know, 4-10s, you know, just depending on what you do. But I mean, for them, football really is year round. They get very limited amount of time to where they can just stop and say, you know what? I don't need to go work out with my trainer today. I don't need to, you know, meet with my agent. I don't need to deal with my PR people for some event. You know, I just want to be with my family this week. And
look, It took me almost a month to make my decision on retiring from the dart league. Okay. So I mean, I can't fault anybody who's going to really take their time and make the right decision.
And speaking of after football life, I found out something really cool this week, and I wanted to share it with our listeners, because, you know, we never really talk about, we do with football, like with Drew, we know he has that deal with NBC. So we will see Drew after, you know, his time with the Saints is over, if and when that is this year. But other players that retire, we don't really hear a lot about them unless they go into broadcasting, or, you know, they open a local business or a franchise. But I found out something really cool that I think a lot of Saints fans may not know. Marcus Colson. Everybody knows Marcus Colson. We love Marcus Colson. He played for 10 years with the Saints. His nickname was the Quiet Storm. And the reason why is because you literally, Marcus Colson, he let his play do the talking for him. Right, other than that, you know, Marcus Colson, you didn't hear from him. Well, Marcus Colson has now, he's opened and owned his own business. He started a foundation, but he's now has another title behind his name, and he's a professor. He's teaching at the University of New Orleans. He's teaching a leadership and entrepreneurial class, which I just think that is so cool, because you've got a player who really embraced the city, you know, made his home here, started a couple of different programs, and just, you know, put a stamp on the city of New Orleans and the community. And now he's teaching, which is just, I think that's incredible, because you've got, you know, college age students are growing up, whether they want to play football, whether they're, you know, wanting to start their own business. A lot of people don't know this. Marcus Colson partnered with Columbia Business School and created a program to help athletes to transition, not just on the field, but off the field, to where they can invest into different businesses, or whether they want to, you know, start a grant fellowship. So to me, Marcus Colson is a type of person, you know, if you're wanting to do that thing, because like there is life after football and, you know, you make all this money and then what do you want to do after, you know, it's over with? Some go into coaching, some go into commentating, but I mean, he took a different path and I think that is awesome. So our very own Marcus Colson is now a member of faculty at UNO. And I just think that's pretty cool.
And look, this is a guy that held 9 franchise records with the team. I mean, this is not just some guy who played with a team and retired. We're seeing those guys a life after football, you know, and I believe that Marcus Colson still lives in right across the bridge in Luling, and has been here, even though he shared time in Philadelphia. He's had a big presence there. He's been in Louisiana. He's had a massive impact here. Another former Saint that made some news this week, Zach Strief.
Yes.
Zach Strief stepping down as the play-by-play man for the New Orleans Saints.
That's when we got used to him taking over for Jim. Now
just when
us.
I was starting to go, okay, I can, and Zach, no offense, just when I was getting to the point where, okay, I can stomach this now. Because at first I didn't like it. And part of the reason I didn't like
big
it was not necessarily the biggest shoes in the National Football League. Jim Henderson was really one of the most amazing men to ever hold that position.
Truly.
And an absolute master of the English language, unlike us, you know. But he was so amazing at what he did. And Zach Strief came in and actually gave us a different perspective on the games. And we had 2 former players calling games, which was very interesting.
And I liked it. Him and Deuce have such good banter back and forth. I mean, the chemistry was just so good. And like you said, we're just getting used to it. And now he's going to be a coach for the New Orleans Saints, which, I mean, that's great. Because Zach is such a personable person. And I could see him, you know, just taking his knowledge from his years of playing and mentoring those guys and being able to coach. But it, you know, it sucks on the other end, because we loved listening to him and we got used to him, and him and Deuce just had great chemistry and a great relationship. So now there's a void to fill there. A lot of names are being thrown around.
I want to hear a former
guest of ours here on the show. And, you know, so a lot of names are being thrown around. We just don't know. There is literally, I think right now, no front runner, no like rumors like, hey, this is the person. There's a bunch of names being thrown out there right now.
There are so many. And there are guys that we know and have heard for years. You know, Mike Haas was a guy that followed Jim Henderson as sports director at WWL television. And I think that his name was in the mix last time. We hear him as the PA announcer at the Superdome the last few years.
I thought he was their choice, to be honest with you. And it was funny because his nickname's the Moose. So it was perfect. The Moose and Deuce.
Right.
And then Zach Strief got the job. So now his name obviously has come back up again. And, you know, Ty Graffinini, who was on our show not too long ago, his name's been thrown up.
Who's done a fantastic job with the Pelicans. I mean, he's really, and he had big shoes to fill. He was filling the shoes of Sean Kelly, who is a national broadcaster for ESPN. You hear him doing college football, college basketball, college baseball. He's done NFL games on radio. You hear Sean Kelly all over the place, and nobody realized that he was our guy. We are blessed with Joel Myers on the television side of the Pelicans broadcast. The guy has one of the best voices in all of play-by-play. If you haven't listened to a Pelicans television broadcast, tune in to Joel Myers. He is amazing. And a lot of people have seen him do some spots in the Key and Peele show on Comedy Central. He has made some appearances there, but that's another guy. We've been blessed with a lot of talent in the broadcasting end of things here. And of course, we've got guys like Kenny Trahan, who's been on our show. And
yes, Ken, he was Berthelot, another name too that I saw online.
Ed Daniels, so many great sports broadcasters. And of course, we've had so many guys that started here that have gone on to the big time. You know, the Chris Myers, you've had probably three or four different guys go on to ESPN. We've been a breeding ground for broadcasters, and we've been very fortunate for that. So I think that's going to be something to watch. I'm almost more interested in who's going to be the play-by-play guy than I am who's going to be the quarterback, but that's just because I'm a radio nerd. So, yeah.
Well, Zach will definitely be missed. Congratulations on, and I say promotion because, I mean, obviously going to become the assistant offensive line coach for the team that you played and won a Super Bowl ring with is absolutely incredible. And we know he's going to do a great job there. But so yeah, now we have another vacancy and they haven't announced a timeline. They said they'll make a decision, you know, soon. So we don't know, but we'll of course keep y'all posted.
And not only was he a great offensive lineman, but he spent now 3 years with that bird's eye view. So he may end up being one of the best offensive line coaches that you could possibly get your hands on.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Definitely.
Very interesting.
And you rarely see that happen too. You rarely see that happen. And a lot of people, back to Drew again, we're speculating, you know, Drew's taking that job with NBC once he does retire, whether he'll go into coaching one day.
I think that door is open for him to go wherever he wants. And I'm pretty sure that Mrs. Benson has offered him carte blanche at that franchise.
Of course. Of course. I mean, who wouldn't want to be mentored by one of the greatest of all time?
That's
absolutely
exactly right. That's
so exactly, yes, right. Of course. And speaking of quarterbacks, the quarterback carousel continues now. Carson Wentz, Deshaun Watson, Dak Prescott. The news came out today. You know, he was franchised by Dallas last year. They announced today that they do not plan on franchising them. Obviously that can change. But, you know, there's been talk that Teddy may not be back with the Panthers. The last thing I saw was that, you know, Deshaun Watson wants out of Houston and, you know, they're not wanting to trade him. And then, you know, we've got Russell Wilson. There's talk that he may not be around in Seattle. So it's quarterback crazy, crazy, crazy.
You know what I would like to see? I would like to see one thing change in the NFL, which is at the end of the season, all the quarterbacks get put into a hat. And every team gets to pull, you know, you pull in draft order, and that's
Mike whoever
you pull, yeah,
Mike
whoever Secret you Santa. Pull out of the hat, that's your quarterback next year.
that's an interesting concept. I don't think that's going to happen, but
I'm going to call the commissioner next week, but I seriously doubt he's going to.
So what are your thoughts on Wentz going to the Colts?
You know, I think that, the Colts have had a void to fill. And Wentz is a guy that has had some confidence issues. There's been a lot of politics that have been behind that, I think. But I really believe that it's probably a good move. I think he needed a change of pace. I think he's got a lot of building pieces around him. So, look, maybe a change is just what he needed, you know? We know he's talented.
Yeah. And I mean, what happened there a couple of seasons ago with he got hurt and then Nick Foles came in and then, you know, not once, but twice. And then, you know, he's the guy, he's not the guy. And then Foles is gone and, you know, he gets hurt again. And I mean, it's just something that we're seeing all over the league. A lot of players, for whatever reason, multiple reasons, are not happy with where they're at. I mean, we're seeing it happen. Russell Wilson, there's talk that he wants out of Seattle, which, I mean, a couple of years ago, you know, nobody would have ever thought that, you know, that Russell Wilson would have, you know, signed and stayed with Seattle for his, you know, most of his career. But I mean, now there's talk that he wants out of Seattle, which, I mean, that's going to lead them. They have a lot of talent. they just have some other issues, you know, time management with their coach. But that's a whole nother show, another day. But I mean, to see if he's not behind center for them this season is just, you know, is crazy to me to think that. And then we're all keeping our eyes on what's going on with Deshaun Watson in Houston. We know JJ Watt is no longer there. They made that crazy trade, you know, in the offseason for their one of their number one players. So what's going to happen there? I mean, where is he going to wind up? Saints fans are like, you know, sell the farm. Look, I'm going to tell y'all, he's a great player, but we have been, and us old school, Jeff and I can attest to this, us old school Saints fans, remember what it was like when we had a coach who sold the farm to get Ricky Williams. You remember that. It took us years to recover from that. Yeah, selling, I mean, the farm, obviously, is not a good thing. No. And obviously quarterback, you know, versus running back, two totally different positions, face of the franchise, quarterback guy that's going to be here forever. Yes. But you don't want to cripple yourself. He's got to have somebody to throw to. He's got to have somebody online to protect him. So if we go and give 3 first round picks, I mean, we're essentially giving away our future for a player when he's not going to have anybody around him. And that's not good. And we still need to shore up some help on defense as well.
For a quarterback, We got a stable full of quarterbacks. We got a draft coming up. If Deshaun Watson wants to come here, I'll give him, you know, some charbroiled oysters and a
couple bags, you know, of zaps, a couple bars.
Yeah, like I'm happy to shrimp hook him up, you know. But I'm not willing to get rid of everything and start over. That's not what this team is anymore.
Yeah, and we're starting with the mock drafts. They're starting to pop up now. So, you know, we're seeing players that names pop up with the Saints. One of them, I think it's a PFF mock draft, had us taking Georgia's quarterback, Jamie Newman. So, I mean, you've got to consider that too. Like, well, you know, the Saints, this is something they have their eye on. All year round, their scouts are looking at these college players. So, I mean, they're going to do what's right. I have 100% faith, whether it's going to be Taysom, whether it's going to be Jameis, you know, whether it's going to be someone who's not on the roster. Just, you know, have faith. Let Drew do his thing and his time. And, you know, this, look, come August, we're all going to be who dats. We're all going to be cheering on this team, no matter who's behind center.
Right. That's true. Well, you know, look, I'm still going to be watching. I'm ready, but I'm still not quite there yet. I'm in the basketball season. The Pelicans are doing, they're doing all right. They had a big win, the largest comeback in franchise history the other night against the Celtics, which is a great basketball team. This week they'll play the Pistons on Wednesday,
and then tomorrow night, right?
Tomorrow night you've got the Bucks coming up this week, who the Pelicans upset earlier a few weeks ago, and you see, so you've got some big games that are coming up, and we're really going to see what the makeup of this team is. But we're seeing Zion playing the way that we knew he could. We're seeing great play out of Brandon Ingram. Lonzo Ball has been fantastic. And then we're seeing a lot of the other, you know, the other role players starting to fit back into their positions. Redick was a guy that we were worried may not fit the bill. He's turned it around. He's started to really take his role in a different way, and he's doing really well. So we're seeing some of those pieces come together. And I tell you what, there is a spot for this team in the playoffs. Right now, I think they're sitting about 4 games back. But if you look at a guy like Kira Lewis, who came out of Alabama last year, this is his rookie season. He is playing. He is so fast, and he's so dynamic on the court. We are looking at, we have the youngest team in the league. And this is telling you that you have a young team. You have Stan Van Gundy, who is learning how to manage the time on the floor.
And that was an issue before last year.
That was an issue before. And then, you know, you look at a guy, you got a guy like Steven Adams, who is just, it's like you got the Rock, like right under the goal every time. He's there. He just doesn't care. And he doesn't worry about scoring. He doesn't care if anybody knows who he is. He's there. He takes it out. Willie Hernan Gomez, who has played really well this season, he's a guy that the Pelicans were hoping to develop over the course of the next 3 seasons. He's been a force under the basket already. And so now you've been able to get a guy who's posting up between Hernan Gomez and Steven Adams, you've got two guys that can play that position on the court, and you can still pull them off and have Zion and Ingram. You've got so many things there.
We have a good base, and I think down the stretch, that's going to be really important. But I mean, most importantly, like you said, coaching, that was such a contentious issue here for Pelicans fans. And, you know, I feel like, and I know you were an advocate of it. I used to see your posts all the time. And, you know, I feel like, you know, like that them making decision to finally, you know, pull the plug and say, okay, look, you know, we need to get somebody else in here. You know, that was the big, like, you know, the big starting point. And like you said, they're young, their guys are young, and they're, you know, they're not that far back. I think they're 11th right now, sitting in 11th place. So, you know, the season is, it's a long season. A lot can happen, but health is very, very important. We're seeing Zion do things now, and these guys are young. And I feel like, you know, down the stretch, that's going to be very important. I really do, because, you know, they're fresh and they got a lot to play for. And now we've got fans in the stadium too. So that's even better. When you're playing in front of a live crowd, whether it be 500, you know, 2000 people, it's something to be said to have those fans in there. It gives them that little extra bit of motivation.
It does. So I'm looking forward to it. There's a good second half of the season that we're going into. We've got two Pelicans that'll be in the All-Star game. I'm excited about the future of this franchise. We've got college baseball underway. We've got, I mean, just things are progressing forward. And the NFL draft is going to be here before you blink.
You know it. Wow. So, you know. I'm not ready. I'm not. I haven't even started. Like, I'm just kind of like, you know, listening to, you know, some of the mocks in my car. I'm listening to ESPN and talk about it briefly. But, you know, I haven't really dug in deep with that. And, of course, you know, our one of our show favorite guests, Mike Dettillier, comes out with his draft guide. So you can pick that up. And he really does a great job in-depth analysis on all these players. So if you like me and you need a quick tutorial because you really haven't been paying attention because so much of other stuff's going on, go ahead and pick that up, because I'll tell you, you'll get a lot of information.
He's the guy. We're going to have him back soon too.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. But probably maybe like I'd say a week or two before the draft, we'll go ahead and plan for that. And we've got some great guests that we're going to be having coming up in the next couple of weeks for y'all. Once we nail down confirmed dates, we'll go ahead and post that on our social media and give y'all some information, but y'all are going to be really pleased with some of these people we have coming up on the show. But, I always want to thank our listeners for joining us. And like Jeff mentioned before, you know, this is our second year now. And so we have a lot of big things planned. And I want to thank everybody for, you know, just all of the great feedback in the last week. And and I've been killing y'all with the food pictures. I'm going to try to be better with it. People are asking me, and we were talking about Deanie's last week. I posted on Twitter and Instagram, one of the seafood platters, and like a couple people immediately said, "Hey, I know that platter. It's Deanie's." And that's, I was right. Like, yes, it was like so good. I said, we're starting Lent. We've got Fish Fry Fridays. And I think last week was the first week with the Louisiana Hospitality Foundation. They had posted online about it. And I think that was really successful. So definitely go check out their website with all of the restaurants that are participating in Hospitality Cares. As I mentioned before, $1 per plate is going to that grant program to help the service industry workers that are, you know, kind of still suffering due to the pandemic.
Yep. Nope. That's all good stuff. And that's all continuing. And, you know, crawfish season's getting underway. We're seeing the restaurants really moving. So, you know what? Get out and go eat, you know.
I mean, that's not a hard thing to do. We do that here all the time. But we'll be sharing some recipes very soon, especially Jeff in that crawfish bowl. And I tell you what, we'll have to one day maybe plan for a Floors Truly fan crawfish bowl. I think that would be awesome to do that. Try some of those good crawfish Jeff's always talking about. But thank y'all again for joining us on Floors Truly this week. If you have any questions, comments, or just want to say hi on social media, hit us up. I'm Tina at The Nola Girl. Or you can hit us up on our official Floors Truly handle. It's at Floors_Truly. We're also on Facebook, Floors Truly Podcast. You can go like our page and share some of our posts. And we're on Instagram as well, at The Nola Girl. And then we have Floors Truly Podcast. And Jeff can tell everybody where they can find him. He's on Twitter and Facebook as well.
That's right. You get me at The Nola Rolla on Twitter. And of course, on the Facebook, you can find me. Just go to the Floors Truly Podcast page. I'll catch you there. Make sure you leave some comments.
Yes, definitely. And we will see everybody next week on Floors Truly. Have a wonderful weekend. Get out and enjoy this beautiful weather. And we'll see you next Tuesday.
Fantastic weather.
And we will see y'all next Tuesday. Have a great one.
To make America's craft wine, you've got to make it like America. Bold, ambitious, unconventional. Crushing grapes like our forefathers crushed kings. So grab a bottle of America's craft wine, like our Lodi Cab with bold berries and tart cherry, the Honest Red Blend with plums and blackberry, a juicy Zinfandel, or a smoky bourbon barrel aged. Pour it in a glass and go forth, because there's history in the making. The Federalist, America's craft wine. Federalist Vineyard, Lodi, California. Enjoy responsibly.
At Acuity Insurance, we believe the things you do for your business every day are nothing short of heroic. And you deserve someone equally heroic to protect them. Like the breaking ground on new construction things, the every box and barcode matters things, and the driving the family business forward things. We put our all into covering your business so you can focus on the things you love most. That's the power of heart. Acuity Insurance, wholeheartedly for you.